Hey Keith, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, cool. Okay, cool. So thanks for taking the time. I promise it won't be very long. And just to let you know, that I'm recording this just for transcription purposes. Okay.
No worries, man.
Okay, cool. So I at the end of my interviews, I usually ask people, the fighter if they think they're gonna win. But just looking at your record, last six fights, win loss, win loss, win loss. You're coming off a loss, obviously. Just based on the trend here, you got this one in the bag, right?
It would appear so, huh?
Is it, how frustrating is that? That every time you get this big win, then you have a loss, and it's hard for you to get. You're fighting the best guys at 205. I don't think anyone would disagree with that, but you just can't get on a roll.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. I try to keep it all in perspective, and the main thing is I'm fighting in the co-main event, and now Portland, Oregon. I guess a real tough top-rated guy. What more can I want? And the other thing is I really do keep improving. This fight, you're going to see a lot better Keith Jardine than you did in the last fight, which was better than the last fight, and that's what's most important to me. I'm going to work it all out, and to me, that's what this fight is. It's just kind of like it's the new Keith Jardine on my way to the top of the UFC.
How is this Keith Jardine different than the one, let's say, the one that we last saw at UFC 96?
You see me in '96. I was just I was a hair away, and I fixed a. We went back. We evaluated that fight and a lot of my other fights, and we fixed a lot of the shortcomings that I've had. A lot of the mistakes that I was doing, a lot of little holes in my game. I think we've addressed all those problems, and I'm excited to run out there and show them off a little bit.
Are you able to share what you think was the biggest weakness in your game leading up to this point?
Sure. No, I don't think so.
All right.
Maybe after this fight, when it all works.
Okay, cool, perfect. After your last fight, it was kind of like the Chuck fight, where a lot of people were counting you out. Even going into it, a lot of people thought that Rampage, knock you out, talking about your chin. And then afterwards, people were like, well, this is almost like a moral victory. You hung in there for three rounds. You might have won one round, depending on who you talk to. Did you take anything away from it in a positive light, or to you, a loss is a loss is a loss?
A loss is a loss, but as far as winning a round, I talked to one of the judges after the fight. He said I was winning that fight up until the last 10 seconds of the fight, so that's how close it was. There's no moral victory on a loss is a loss, but actually that was the hardest one I've had to deal with because I was so close. I did work so hard for that fight, but again, it's just about keeping things in perspective. I improved from the Vera fight to that fight, and now I've improved a lot more since, and that's the important thing. If I keep on this rate, that pretty soon I will find a way to the top of the UFC.
So you're saying that like a close fight like that, where you're saying one judge was just about to give you the fight, to lose a fight like that hurts more than, let's say, like the one to Wanderlei Silva, just because you were in it for the whole fight?
Yeah, the Wanderlei Silva fight was. He baited me early on. I made a mistake, and he got me with a beautiful overhand. To me, that fight never even happened. I wish it would have. It would have been a great fight, but that's just the way I look at it.
What did you think of the UFC bringing in Rashad, your teammate, right after, and sort of like kind of pushing you off to the side? And here we go. They're building another fight. Did that bug you?
Not a bit. Not a bit. Rashad deserved everything he gets, and that's a great matchup for him against Clinton.
Okay, and last time we saw Thiago, it was a tough loss for him. His first loss to Lyoto Machida. Prior to that, he looked very impressive, unbeatable. Are you watching that Machida fight, or do you think that a lot to pinpoint what he did wrong, or do you think that was sort of the anomaly in his career?
I don't know what it was, honestly, because. All of a sudden, Machida's looking a lot better now, and I don't know how much stock you can put into a loss against Machida, because nobody's figured him out, and clearly, Silva went and ended that fight with the complete wrong game plan. So no one's figured out that puzzle yet. So there's not a lot of stock to be put into that. So you're absolutely right. I've been looking at a lot of the previous fights before that.
What do you think was so wrong about his game plan?
He went out and wanted to put a lot of pressure on Machida and get into some. He's best in the scramble situation. He likes the fight going to the ground. He likes takedowns, defending takedowns, and clinching up. He likes the knees and elbows. He likes that scramble situation. You try to force that on Machida, and Machida wasn't having none of it.
So is it safe to say that, you know, in a perfect world, you would rather stand with him?
I like my chance of standing with him, but I'm prepared. I think he's going to try and force a takedown on this fight, and I'm prepared for that. So I'm ready for both.
Okay. And do you feel obviously every fight in the UFC is big, but, you know, the potential of a two-fight losing streak over your head, do you feel any extra pressure to actually win emphatically here?
No extra pressure. That's not the way I approach fights. I just think about the fight, and everything else will take care of itself. I got a real tough guy to fight, and I'm sorry, man. I just finished my last workout. I'm drained.
No, that's fine.
The question was extra pressure, two losses in a row. It's just another fight. I really don't think about my place in the UFC and all that. When I start training for a fight, it's all I care about is a fight. It's not a sport. It's not like a. It's not a race or something. It's not a game. It's an actual fight. So once you get that call that you're fighting somebody, you quit thinking so much about what am I going to do to get a title your place in the UFC. It's just I got to fight this guy in 2 months, and that's all that counts.
So was this your last workout before the fight, or just last workout of the day?
Last big workout before the fight.
Oh yeah. So what do you do now? You know. For the next 8 days or so, like, how do you stay ready?
I'm gonna take a couple of days off right now, and then I'm just gonna do small workouts up until the fight, just recover. Thing is, I don't care enough to care about all this, but the thing about training is, at this point, I've been doing really good sparring. Everything's looking great. I've been doing, with a new opponent every round and stuff like that, and winning every single round, but. You know, when you go home and you think about it, at the very best right now, I'm about 85% at the very best of my conditioning and everything because I am so trained and I'm so beat up right now. With this next week off, it's like you feel like Superman at the end of the week. You move so fast and everything's so sharp and that's what you need the week for is to get that 8 weeks of training. You got to get that recovery from that.
So sort of like recharging your batteries.
Exactly. And just the small workouts to keep everything moving.
And who have you been sparring with? Like in those sparring matchups, who have you been going up against?
You know who's been all kinds of guys. But who's been helping me out a lot for this camp is Brian Stan, actually. He's a newer member of our team, and he's greatly improved. And he's been helping me out a lot. Also, Nate Marcourt of course, and Elliot Marshall from Denver, some other guys from Denver that are great boxers and kickboxers, and we got some great kickboxers over here, and then some jiu-jitsu guys. Elliot's a world champion jiu-jitsu guy I've been working out, which is just these incredible guys for this camp.
Yeah, and a lot of those guys actually have, like Marquardt's fighting on the same card, so I'm guessing that's that helps even more, right?
Yeah, absolutely, because everybody in Denver's in camp for Nate, and everybody in here is in camp for me, so I'll go up to Denver and they'll come down here. So it's just great camp.
When's Brian
too many sparring partners.
Right. When's Brian fighting next? Does he know?
Stan's fighting like a week or so after me in Oklahoma.
Oh, okay. Yeah, on the fight night. All right. And, just before I let you go, I'm curious about your thoughts on, like, the – your celebrity in MMA, because you have a great look, yet you're very quiet and humble and sort of mild mannered. Do you feel that you need to like, you know, do like the, you know, like a Rampage type of thing? Do you feel that helps?
That would definitely help my career out a lot. I think I may have gotten a title shot sooner if I was over the top like that. But honestly, it's just not me. I think the fans that I have like me for my blue collar approach, and because I'm not all in your face and over the top, and you know, I'm just gonna be myself. I don't need to get all WWE on anybody.
Why do they call you the mean one?
Because that's all about when you get into the fight, when you're sparring, and when you fight, that's when you put your right face on it, and that's when it counts. Being mean is not about walking around just being mean to people. It's just about the way you carry yourself with adversity more than anything.
And you mentioned the WWE stuff, so I'm guessing you weren't a fan of, you know, like what Brock Lesnar has brought to the table as of late.
You know, Brock's a weird thing, man, because I've always met Brock in the background. He's always been really humble and a nice guy, but what I think he did in the cage is just disgusting, and there's just no place for that in the UFC. You know, we've come a long ways, and just the beautiful thing about UFC is I can hate, you can hate somebody and go in there. And you see it all the time, guys. They just really don't like each other, and they go in and they fight each other for 15 minutes. And there's that something about the old martial arts aspect of just because the guy went in there and he fought you, he earns a certain meter of respect with you. And that's the beauty of our sport, and that's what a lot of people appreciate, the shaking hands after the end. And even though I still don't like you, maybe I respect you a little bit for stepping into this cage. And I thought what I saw with Lesnar's fight was disgusting. But the thing is, when we meet him in the background, he's nothing like that.
So maybe it was just like all the emotion and all that stuff getting the best of him. He needs to kind of keep that in check.
Oh, absolutely. It's bad for the sport. It's bad for him. It's just, well, I mean, it's probably good for him, man. Being the GOAT brings right in fans. But I don't like it at all.
You think it's actually bad for the sport that attention doesn't help just bring people in, good or bad?
Yeah, because we've come a long ways. We're not just some the biker you see at the bar fighting. We're real professional athletes, and there's that amount of respect and professionalism about it, and just to see that, I think
All right, final question before I let you go. I have to ask this question just because so many people ask it. Are you familiar about the whole Techno Viking thing?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What, can you give us the background behind that, and if you would ever sort of, you know, I guess it was a petition of people wanting you to come out to the dance or something like that?
I never heard about that.
Yeah, there is one online.
Right now, I'd give you a better answer, but I think it's funny, man, when people ask me on the street and stuff, I always tell them that, yes, it was me, and that was a long time ago and that kind of stuff. And I have a lot of fun with it, but I think I'd have to take some techno dance lessons first.
Would you ever – I'm looking at the petition right now. Would you ever consider doing it?
I think I'd rather come out to – I like weird music. I'd rather use, like, Tom Waits or something first.
All right, so the techno Viking dream is not going to happen.
Well, I don't know, man. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'm kind of a practical joke. We'll see what happens.
All right, cool.
I don't know if they'll let me fight in those shorts, though.
I think that would be – that's a good way to get more fans. We're talking about trying to get, you know, people to like you. I think you'd have –
not trying to get more fans, man. I just want to win fights and find my way to the top.
All right. How's the fight going to finish? Do you have a prediction?
You know what? I don't predict anything. I never do. I just hope that it goes long enough for everyone to see a great fight and the better guy's going to win. That's all I hope for.
All right. Thanks a lot, Keith. Best of luck to you. Always a pleasure to talk to you, and we look forward to the fight.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
Bye-bye.